Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We know that power to be, of course, the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, who lives within us and encourages us and keeps us in our sense of direction, as David was telling us, the children here in front of us today. We're always happy to see you. It's always difficult for me to put in my mind how it is last week I could have been 1,500 miles away preaching the gospel in White Plains, New York, and yet that's the case. That's the way things are today. We're able to move around so quickly and so easily. It's kind of exciting. I bring a greeting to you. In fact, they wanted me to be sure to say to all of the congregation here at South Main that sent me and allowed me to come and go to the White Plains Church and to preach our meeting together. On Sunday morning in our auditorium, there was only one empty spot. It was full. It was a great time together. There's a work there that's just growing and growing. And a lot of that is because of you. The main work, of course, is being done by them while they're there, but they are very appreciative of us being able to come and encourage them and have that opportunity for us to be together. And Rosemary and I are very grateful to you for allowing us to go and do those things. Well, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? Solomon in Proverbs 14, Bobby, as we're studying from that great book, we're past that chapter, but we read it and talked about it. And it's one of those things that we have to struggle with, that to overcome and to remember that we want to follow God's direction. I like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and at verse 9 when he said, so we make it our goal to please him. That's such a simple statement, but that is really what we're all about, isn't it? Pleasing God. We make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home or in the body, or whether we might be away from it. And he had written also in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verses 8 and 9, and he said about the people there, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So then live as children and children of light, live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is, of course, consistent of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then he says, find out what pleases the Lord. And that's what we're here to do. We want to please God. We want to know what God is pleased about in our endeavors to serve him. Well, I'm glad to be home, glad to be back in the land of promise. Always like it when the plane touches down on that last time. And I don't mind going to Yankee Land just for a few days, but I got to get back home because we love it here in Henderson, Texas. I had a friend who was telling me this story, and I'm going to share it with you. I thought it was an interesting one. He had gone to Atlanta, Georgia, and he was there for, had to spend a couple of days there, and he didn't know anybody, and he looked up in the phone directory, decided he wanted to get something to eat, and he thought he'd just look up in the restaurants about where he might want to go, and he noticed as he was going through the listing of the restaurants, a place that was called the Church of God Grill. Well, it didn't really say what kind of cuisine it was or anything, and he kept on reading, but he kept coming back to that little line, Church of God Grill. And he said, man, I'm just curious. I got to find out about this. So he called them on the telephone. And the fellow on the other end said, hello, Church of God Grill. How can we serve you? He said, well, I'm not really from here, and I'm just kind of curious about your name. He said, how is it that you became or you are called the Church of God Grill? I thought that was an interesting name for a restaurant. So the man said, oh, yeah, I'd be glad to tell you. He said, you know, we had a little mission down here, and We started selling chicken dinners right after our Sunday services at the church here to help pay for the bills. Well, people started liking the chicken so much, and we did such a good business that we eventually started cutting back on the church services. And after a while, we just closed down the church altogether, and we just kept on serving chicken, and now we serve other things. But we kept the name we started with, the Church of God Grill. Well, my friend was telling me about that story, and he said, you know, I think I'm going to preach a sermon about this. I said, well, you better hurry, because I'm going to grab that one. But, you know, in this world, when I think about this, and here's my illustration about it. I couldn't help but think, it's so easy in this world to lose focus. And in the case with this, where they had begun a mission work, and we're trying to do things for the Lord, they were going to have some chicken dinners, and they wound up just doing chicken dinners now. I don't know if they do anything for the Lord at all now or not. I've never been there. But the point is that I realize that in my own life, it really doesn't take a whole lot to get me off course, Doug. I mean, you could just say something in another direction, and I'm off over here thinking about this. Or I might let some other thing come along and influence me. Just think about all of the things that send you in another direction than really the direction you should be heading, or the one you intended to go on, the one you really wanted to follow. I think that happens to us in the church. I thought about that. And I think it's easy for us to lose focus or sight of what's the most important thing or the mission of the church, the body of Christ. The most, I think, clearest, comprehensive command of our Lord is found and given in our verses this morning. Well, turn with me in your Bible to Matthew 28. Let's just talk for a few minutes. I know that you know this. I know you've read this a number of times. But I want to ask you about your discipleship today. I want to ask you about the initial things that motivated you to want to follow Jesus. These are some of the things that Jesus said at the very end of his ministry. Maybe some of the last things that he taught. And as the disciples went out into Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to come, some of them even doubted. This is verse 16. I actually backed up a verse or two there. I think you remember a fellow by the name of Thomas? What's his nickname? Hot Rod Thomas? Football Thomas? What is it? Doubting Thomas. Is that what we call him? I just want to tell you something here. Thomas wasn't alone. He maybe gets a bad rap. Because we always call him Doubting Thomas. But if you look at Matthew 28 and verse 16, you'll see that it says very clearly, but some of them doubted. It didn't just say Thomas doubted, but some doubted. Even though they'd gone out and had been with Jesus, they still doubted. And I emphasize that to say to you, don't get discouraged about following Jesus and living the way you should, because lots of people doubt. You can doubt from time to time. That enters into our mind. Is all of this really true? I believe that's one of the ways that we can get off focus and off track. And it says then that Jesus came to them and he said, well, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So therefore go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Naturally, in order to make disciples, you got to have some students. You got to have some subjects, don't you? You got to have some people. And I know how difficult that seems to be in our day and age when, you know, the teaching today is everybody's okay. It doesn't matter what kind of God you worship, long as you worship something. So everybody is under the impression that they're doing the right thing. I know that that makes it even more difficult. But even with that, there are lots of folks who want to know the saving message of Jesus Christ. I'm finding that true in the White Plains congregation alone. Why, in the 10 years we've gone to the Northeast, here's a congregation that has gone from about 40 people, and they're way up over that. They're 160, 180 people. They've been teaching and baptizing people. Did they do it overnight? Nope. But they kept at it. They just kept doing it. They haven't lost their focus about what's important or what it is that God had called them to go and do. And they have just as much reason, if you've ever been to New York and been in the city at Manhattan or anywhere along in there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got a myriad of people here with all kinds of different language. In fact, in the White Plains congregation, there are like 21 different countries represented in that congregation. Our song leader last, no offense, Travis, but he was from Jamaica and he was way more entertaining than you. Okay, Mom, get to the page. Well, you got to announce it first, you know. He hadn't told us the page, but he wanted everybody to go to the page. And Leroy is a really exciting guy. He's from Jamaica. Of course, nobody understands him when he talks half the time. That's true about almost everyone who comes to the pulpit. There's some folks there from Albania, and you can't understand what it is they're saying, but they do it anyway. They get along. They overcome. I'm simply illustrating that it's not an easy task to go and teach people, because there are all of these hurdles to overcome. You got to have students to teach. And I think that everything that we do in life initially begins with being either directly or indirectly taught. We come into this world ignorant. That's why we're here, to learn. We're here to learn, and we have to be taught. And we're dependent upon Mom and Dad and our situation, our family, to help us better understand. God gave us the power of reasoning that we might be able to learn. So God sent us into the world so we might learn. How do we go about getting all of that done? Faithful disciples, see, being a disciple, you have to be committed to teaching the word to others. Well, that's easy. It was easy to say. You could probably repeat it if I said, let's repeat that. Be committed to teaching the word to others. We can probably all say that, right? In fact, I didn't even have to tell you that. You obviously knew that the only way we were going to convert people is for somebody to teach the word to somebody else. Now, I know we're always looking for some new idea. It's good. I mean, new ideas keep us thinking. That's great. It keeps our enthusiasm level up. But it still comes down to one basic thing, doesn't it? Whether you, me, all of us together are going to commit ourselves to teaching the word to somebody else. Is that right? I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that. That's the simple story. Who do you have targeted to teach? Who do you have on your list? Do you have a name down that you're praying about and looking for an opportunity to teach them? Because you're committed to teaching the word to others. I know we've got all of the other things in life that keep us busy. Tom's got his turnings out in the woodshed. He has a great time out there, and a lot of you do a great job, a lot of good work. I know that there's lots of things that keep us busy. You may have something else. I don't know what your activity is. I wasn't picking on Tom or people who work on wood, because if I did, I'll get beat up later. But, hey, it doesn't matter what it is. We still have got to keep our commitment to teaching the word to others. Now get an amen? Because that's how easy it is, and it's so easy to get off it. The next thing you know, we'll be selling chickens.
it'll just be Bob's Grill. Because we can get off focus. Forget about what's really most important. We think somehow or another it's got to be what we're doing here. It's got to be how this works. It's got to be how the song service works. It's got to be how all of the other... That's not it. That's not our mission. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to go and preach the word to other people. And that's what being a disciple is about. Now, I know God commands us to gather together and worship. There's a purpose that we're here. We're here remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. And we're here lifting up our voices in song. But you see, I have to be a disciple first. Before any of that happens, I have to become a disciple. That means I need to be a learner. One who's willing and ready to learn about who God is. Go and make disciples of all of the nations, he says, overcoming our doubts and our fears. I know that it's a tough thing sometimes, but brethren, I think we can do it. We have to be disciples. There can be no making of disciples until the teaching of Christ moves the hearts of other people. How's that going to happen? It's only going to happen when you and me are involved in helping other people know about becoming them. And you notice that he says, we're not just supposed to go teach, you know, preach the word and baptize them. We're supposed to teach them all things that I have commanded. I think if there's one thing that's more difficult of all the tasks, is that once we get somebody in the water, is to remain with them long enough to teach them about what God is. Now, I know it's a lifelong process. You're always going to be learning about who God is and who Christ is. And there's this growth place. I understand that. God is challenging you as a disciple to be sure that you teach other people what they need to know. Paul writes, as he's writing in Titus in chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14, he says that for by the grace of God that brings salvation that has appeared to all men, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Are you eager to do what's good? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? It's always right to do the right thing. Jesus went about doing what? He went about doing good. It's always good to do the right thing. It's right to do the right thing. It doesn't matter where you are. And when you do those kinds of things in this life, you influence people for good. And that's what's so very, very, very important. I think in order to serve the Lord, we have to have patience enough to follow him wherever he may lead me. I remember early in our married life, Rosemary sat in the passenger seat and I sat in the driver's seat. And very, very, very rarely did Rosemary ever drive with me in the car. Our roles have changed quite a bit these days because I don't mind whatsoever sitting over in the passenger seat and letting Miss Rosemary drive. I'm playing with my phone and I'm acting like Rosemary. I'm doing something. Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I got Pandora going off my phone. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I don't know why it took me so long to find that out, Wesley, that there was some fun over there in the passenger seat when I thought all the time I should be hammering that gas pedal on the floor, finding how to get around that 18-wheeler. Life changes. And I do have to admit this, that I have a tendency, I'm just going to fess up, that even when I'm in the passenger seat, I feel like the old woman, man, where to go. Don't shake it that much. It's true. I'm getting better at it. I'm trying to be better. She's going to be. Yeah, I can't say, what? Aren't you turning here? I'm going a different way. I should have known that. And I like better when she says, I think I'm lost. I said, I love it. I told you not to turn back there. Now, look, we don't really like being out of the driver's seat. And listen, I'm trying to make a point about our life with God. Isn't that really what happens to us? We lose focus. We're not letting God be the driver. I'm supposed to be in the passenger seat. I'm supposed to be letting God take care of this thing. I'm supposed to be following God. I'm supposed to let God direct me and follow Him where He wants me to go. That's the way I show my discipleship. Now, friends, there are lots of ways to go about teaching people. And there are all kinds of methods. And I'll be happy to say to you that I don't really care what method you choose to use, just as long as you choose one and use it. Whatever suits you, whatever makes it easier for you to do this. There are lots of different ways to go about teaching. Yet, you know, sometimes we have trouble getting there. There's the confrontational method. I know that that's maybe kind of a negative word. I don't really mean it in a negative way. This might be better explained by saying just simply going up to somebody and initiating a conversation about religion. Sometimes that's a tough thing to do, but maybe that's the only way you're ever going to bring it up. I know you're waiting for that right time to be able to say something. We all are. But sometimes that time doesn't come. Sometimes you just have to confront it. Bring it up. Find a way to do it. Just sort of initiate a conversation with somebody else. I'm challenging you today to think about some of that and about where your life is and who the people that you know and who you might be able to help. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, and he says, over the beginning about verse 5, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? They're only servants through whom you come to believe as the Lord is assigned to each his task. I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So you see, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. It's only God who makes things grow. You believe that? God makes things grow. It's up to the Lord to carry that out. But it doesn't work if we don't initiate. If we don't do something about that. I know that a lot of people like the intellectual approach. You know, just maybe by the teaching approach. Instead of being confrontational, you can be intellectual. There's nothing wrong with studying and becoming informed about all of the different things that you can do. That's a great method. The idea of just learning about them, being intellectual. But even if you are trying to be the student and trying to be the teacher, you're still going to wind up having introduced that subject. You're still going to have to do some talking about it. That's what discipleship is really all about. Well, the last one is one you know, the example. We may have used this as a crutch. A lot of us may have said, I'm just trying to be a good example. Well, that's what you should be, is you should be a good example. But you are still not going to get there unless you bring it up. Be a good example. Let them see by your good things or the things that you do that you're really serious about who you are as a follower of Christ. But you're still going to have to bring it up. then not everybody is the teacher. Some are much more adept at being able to teach others. But everybody ought to be a disciple. Can I get an amen? Not everybody's the teacher. Everybody ought to be a disciple. You ought to be able to influence people either confrontationally, intellectually, or by your example, and make some kind of an attempt to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel. That's what Jesus was looking for from us. That's what discipleship is about. You want to change the appearance of things around here? Man, just start telling people about Jesus. And let them see from your life what He means to you. I love you. I want you to have the best life you can have while you're here. That life is the life in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ, we want you to be in Christ. You know that you must be obedient and you must respond to His command. I invite you to come today and respond and bury in the waters of baptism. Repent of sin. Raise and walk in newness of life. I invite you to come, Travis, while we stand.